church in Charleston, South Carolina, Northside Baptist. That's where Brother Mike was attending. And also, he had just been saved a year. He got saved in 2001 at that church ministry, and the Lord brought me in along that pathway. And I want to tell you, God just used him. It was very instrumental. A very specific time where we were just crossing paths, but he encouraged me in the Lord and just came alongside me and just prayed. I remember praying with him, and he just had the gift of encouragement, and he still got it to this day. And over the years, it's been a blessing to be able to fellowship with him from time to time and how God is using him. And folks, I am convinced that the Lord will be using Brother Mike Fisher this week in our meetings. I know he'll preach exactly what God puts on his heart. And he's a humble man. He's honest. He's transparent. And I hope you'll get to know him. I saw there were more people signed up for the meals, and I appreciate that. Having him in your home or taking him out, it'll be a real encouragement to you. So, Brother Mike, you come and preach what God's placed on your heart. I just want to say I appreciate you and I love you, brother. Amen.
All right. Let me get this on. I like that sign, brother. I saw that coming up. Am I on? Am I good to go? You all right, Brother Mike? Okay, good. Got to be nice to the sound man. I'm going to tell you, the devil doesn't get in that sound man. It happens sometimes in that soundboard. The devil gets in, really does, on numerous occasions. But I want to try to help a couple of us out if we could. I could say a lot of nice things about your pastor. I really could. And I'm not saying that for a love offering, amen. I'm not going to do that. Although it does work and it does help. So I'm going to just go ahead and shoot for the win. He has been, when I left, I was over the college and career class, at least helping Pastor Dennis Clemens out. Now, if you've never heard the name Dennis Clemens, man, you haven't heard of really a Hudson Taylor of the modern century. He's a great man. He's in Colchester, Illinois now, and I hope he comes to visit you all. I know that he probably will sometime come down to Georgia. This is his stomping grounds down here in the Georgia area, if I remember correctly, or at least somewhere down south. It's all the same as long as you're not a Yankee, right? So he's somewhere down here. I am a Yankee, by the way. Amen. We did win the war, so shame, shame, shame. I know your name, okay? I know you're still fighting it, but that's okay. Stop being bitter. Amen. Okay. If you want to rise again, please don't. Please don't. There's no time for that, first of all. I have no time for rising again. And secondly is this. We have you surrounded already. They're called snowbirds, and they're down in Florida. They're a little older, but they can still handle a gun real well, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, hey, listen. I'm a real person, okay? I'm very approachable. I get sick and tired, and I am fed up with the high-minded preachers out there that are so high that you can't talk to them. We like to hang out with people that are friends. We like to hang out with people that are friendly. We get tired of that other nonsense, and we get tired of men trying to make you what they are so you can suddenly be spiritual somehow. Friends, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to be what I am some days, friends. Not at all, man. I'm a goofball some days. There's other things that I am. But I'll tell you, above and beyond that, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I really appreciate how God has used your pastor in my life. Dennis Clemens was used in our life in a mighty way. He was actually very big in discipling both of us. Dennis Clemens used to have prayer meetings. We just talked about this on the way here. He'd take us boys out, and it wasn't to go and play big ball. It wasn't to go out and do some big youth retreat. We go out and we do prayer meetings. You say, that's boring. Not when you met with Jesus, it wasn't, man. I'm going to tell you, you get a room of a bunch of college-age guys, and hands are in the air, man, tears are filling the eyes, and you are just praying to see God work. It was at a pivotal time, I know, in our life, and Dennis Clemens changed our life. We're going to pick on him this week a little bit. We're going to take some pictures together, make him feel jealous that he's not down south. He's up there in Yankeeville, too, amen. He's up there in Illinois, and I do spend a lot of time down here, and yes, I am an evangelist, and God does love the south, okay? I understand that. You get evangelists all year round. The north only gets them until about winter time, and then they run down south. So that's part of being an evangelist. So let me say a couple other things. Was it Daisy and Priscilla? Am I getting this right? All right, it's good to meet you, sisters. Tony has friends. That's all that shows, okay? Tony has friends, and this is an amazing thing. So take a picture of them. They're real people. You guys meet Daisy and Priscilla. They're real deal, okay? That's only the third Priscilla I know of, apart from Priscilla Presley. And no, I'm too spiritual to ever mention that again, okay? Amen. I'd never do that. But Billy Ingram's daughter is Priscilla, and some of you know Billy rather well. I traveled with him for a few years, and love him to death. He's a good man. By the way, thank you so much for the roast beef already, Sister Joanna. I don't even know if she's in here. Yeah, there she is. Awesome. Great cook, man. I'm going to tell you, we had a good time. Great dinner conversation. I think we talked about some Ninja Turtles and some other cool things with the kids. Good dinner conversation. So in light of that, I hope I got it. Oh, let me do this. Let me thank you ahead for the offering. I know you'll do it. You're a good Baptist church. I am trying to save up for a trip to Hawaii and I'm just about there. And I think this offering may just put us over, preacher. I'm that close. It was between that and the sports car, but I think the trip to Hawaii is going to win out, okay? And we're going to take the whole family. I mean, we're just a couple hundred dollars away, so we hope it just all works out. And we've been saving now for a couple years. But thanks for giving to that cause. And anyway, let me say this. I'm at your access this week, okay? I'm at your access this week. I want you to come and fellowship with me. Please do. Now, when my trailer's here and my whole family's here, for some reason, people rarely take you up on this. And I know you're working. And listen, I'm working too. Trust me. I work all day long. And sometimes I get to do physical labor, all right? I really do. And I'll do some things while I'm at the church. And I hope I get to do that while I'm here. I don't do that just to make myself look better. I do that so I stay busy. And I like to stay busy. I don't like to be idle in what I'm doing. You got to realize, usually I'm in a public school all day long, and then I come and preach revival meetings at night. So that's typically what I do. I'm used to being busy all day long. So if you say, you know what, I'd love for you to come and go visiting with me, right? I'd love to come and just fellowship over a cup of coffee. Amen. Glory, glory. I love coffee. I think every good Christian ought to drink coffee. I really do. I don't need it to survive. I need it to live, okay? Just live. I don't like to use that word survive. It's too big of a word for me. Live's real easy. Friends, I'm going to tell you this. I hope you don't drink Starbucks. I hope you're just straight into the Dunkin' stuff, because I don't like Starbucks. They're just not spiritual people. But Dunkin' people, they walk with God, man. I like Dunkin' people. We're going to have it to the marriage feast someday. You better get used to it. And right after I finish that manna from heaven, I'm going to have me a cup of Dunkin' in glory. So anyway, as a result of all that, hey, you don't know and I don't know, so you can go ahead and speculate all you want. So am I. In light of that, I want to try to help you out with a dilemma in Scriptures if I could. And it comes from Proverbs chapter 13. We'll look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Some of you have been helped by this verse. You really have been. And I know it's not going to be a new verse to some of you. Some of you, it may be a new verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 is where we'll start. And we'll stay there the entire time. We're not going to get out of this by any means. But it's something that helps you, something that's helped me. I wish when I was praying, and I do pray even in my own heart, that if you have a prayer life, you've got to know this verse. I mean, if you've ever prayed for anything, you've got to know this verse. Now, tonight, let me say this. Maybe tonight you're here and you're lost. Now let me explain lost, what I mean when Christians say lost. So many times you get caught up in religious jargon, right? I'm burdened about something. What in the world does that mean? I'm burdened about something. It means I got something that's heavy on my heart and I'm concerned about it majorly. That's all that really means. But when I speak of lost, I mean this. I mean there's a roadmap in order to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. Now, there's some people possibly in here that don't know the roadmap through Jesus Christ. You think, well, it's through this or through that, or if I just be a good person and all those different things. No, friends. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is a straight path in order to get to heaven. It's not crooked. It's not a mountain that we climb a bunch of different ways. All I'm saying is this. There are lost people that don't know the roadmap, and there are people that are saved or found. What I would say is this. If you're in the prior to that, not the latter, if you're one of those that are lost here tonight, primarily my message is not going to talk about how you ought to be able to get to heaven tonight. It's not going to be, although I want you to know this before I continue, you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. God's made it very simple, and He's made it very plain. It's not about church membership. It's not even about being a good person. Although Christians, we ought to be good people. I will tell you this. It's about simply just knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've ever come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my Bible says that you're saved. You say, well, my life ain't what it should be. My Bible says that you're saved, is what it says. Now, cleaning a fish is much different than catching a fish. And Christians, I hope we understand that as well. That's a whole other message I wanted to preach tonight, so I had to get at least a portion of it out, okay? In light of that, Proverbs 13, verse 12 deals with a dilemma. It really is an issue, and dare I say this, it can be a problem if you let it be a problem. The issue is this, is that there's sometimes we pray for things and the answer doesn't come. Sometimes it doesn't come immediately, and we get frustrated. We really do. Maybe you don't, but I'm talking maybe about the Christian sitting next to you. They get frustrated. I'm going to tell you, if we could be honest, as Norman Grubb said tonight, with walls down and roof off, and what I mean by this is we just simply be honest before God. That's easy. That's roof off. It's easy because God sees everything that we do. He's perfect. He knows what's going on in your heart. But what I'm saying is just not roof off, but walls down before man. If we could have transparency tonight when it comes to the Bible, if we could have transparency, I think our movement of fundamentalism would be much different than what it is today. If people would have just been the people they are, nobody is above sin, friends, and nobody is above temptation, and nobody is above frustration, and nobody's above anger. Nobody's above any sin that you can categorize in the Bible. And what we need to see is this. I'm not looking for a level of spirituality tonight. I'm looking for a present tense surrender to God. That's all God's looking for. What you were in the past is past, but what you are in the present is what's important. In light of that, all I'm saying is there's people in here that are praying for situations of life. I'm not trying to scratch an old wound. I'm not trying to frustrate, and I'm not trying to get you sad and grip at your soul. Although, friends, when it comes to prayer, let's face it, it grips our very soul. So in light of that, I want to see that we don't have to give up on God, because God hasn't given up on us. You say, but you don't realize. See, I prayed about something, then I got into sin, and God must have forgot. God never forgets when He gives a promise. It says this in the Scriptures. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Friends, all I'm saying is in the area of prayer, it's a tree of life every time. There's people in here that are praying for things that you know have come true, and you've watched it come true. You've watched it come to fruition, and you've watched it become, as it were, a tree of life. Something we can't explain, but something we surely understand when it comes true. It shows us the reality of God. It shows us the reality that God is truly there. So in light of that, let me say this. Many times we have wrong thinking. I was at an amusement park, and you say, I'm not an amusement park person. That's okay. It makes the long line shorter for me. I am an amusement park person. So you stay home, and I'll take your spot in line. Amen. Well, I'm a roller coaster person. I love to get on them. Now, the wooden ones rack your ribs like crazy, man. They do. But they're the funnest. We were on the largest wooden roller coaster in Pennsylvania, in Knoebels Grove, Pennsylvania. I'm going to tell you this about Knoebels Grove. It was rated over Disney World as the top family amusement park in all of the United States. Glory. That's where I went as a kid, man. I love that place. I absolutely love that place. And we would go. The good thing about it is it's not like Six Flags. It's not like one of those other places like Disney World where you got to pay about $80 to $100 to walk in the door. You pay nothing to walk through the entire park. It's fun. You just get some tickets, you get on rides, and you have an enjoyable time. They have a haunted house. You say, did you go in the haunted house, you big devil? Yes, I did, man. It's been the same way since I've been 14 years old. It's the lamest thing in the world. It makes you laugh the whole way through it. It is just absolutely hilarious. And the only thing that they've updated is a laser. They got lasers now, and they make them just dance on the wall. That's about as demonic as it gets in there as a big old laser. So in light of that, I want to say this. I was going to get that morning, I was going to get on the Phoenix. I always intend to do that, and I always intend to get on the log flume because you got to get absolutely soaking drenched before you leave. Well, there I was. We were getting ready to go get on the Phoenix, and my pastor is about 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and we get there about 9 o'clock, and then you stay until about 4 or 5, and then you go home, go to McDonald's, and kids fall asleep on the way home. Glory, glory, parents, right? There it is. We're on our way getting ready to get on the Phoenix, and my pastor leans over to me, and he says this. He said, you smell something? Now, here was the issue. My shirt smelled like mold. It really did. Ladies, some of you understand what happens when you got a front-end loader washer, don't you? Fellas, let me educate you for 1 second, okay? Front-end loader washers, if you do not fill them with some type of clothes or something like that in a high humidity area like Georgia, if you don't fill them up with something, there's going to be a ring of mold that gets on the inside of that, on that lip. That's not your fault, ladies. You're not bad. That's actually a manufacturer default, okay? It happens on every front-end loader washer. What you have to do is put some clothes on there. Well, my wife sometimes forgets. Sometimes our trailer will lay dormant just for a little while because we'll travel away to a meeting, and then we'll come back home, and then somehow if she forgets, we got a ring of mold. We got to deal with it. Well, I remember this. There was a ring of mold, and my wife, it's usually the first load of laundry that goes through there absolutely stinks. It does, but you don't catch it until the sun hits it, okay? It doesn't go immediately. You got to wait till some moisture hits it, and then the sun hits it. It's always my clothes. I don't understand how this works out, but it is always my clothes. T-shirts are not expendable, ladies. They're very important commodities in my house. But I remember this. She had washed that, and she had washed many of our shirts. I go to a lot of camps, and there was a camp shirt that I had some scripture across it, and I was going to wear it that day because, after all, praise the Lord, I was just going to wear scripture, and people always ask you questions about the ministry or about something because of the scripture, and you use it as a tool to tell people about Jesus Christ. That was my intent, but there it was, 11 o'clock. Sun was beating down. My pastor, it suddenly started permeating that shirt, man. It stunk. You smell something? First one to notice was my pastor. Thank you so much, preacher. I said, yeah, actually I do. I explained the whole situation. See, my wife has a front end loader, washer, the laundry, all this stuff. I said, listen, I'll go to the bathroom and change it. I had a backpack I carry with me, one of those little string backpacks, Adidas I got from New York, and we would travel around, and I said, I'll go change it, because after all, I was going to get on the log flume, and you always bring an extra set of clothes if you're going to get on the log flume, because your shirt is going to get soaked, your pants are going to get soaked, and you always do that at the end of the day, you never do it at the beginning of the day, right? You guys with me? Okay, good. We got some people here that are spiritual. Okay, so in light of that, what happened was this, is I went and I changed my shirt. I went in the bathroom, went in the stall, changed my shirt. And I'm going to tell you what happened, friends. I was just ready to walk out. I put my shirt on, I put my backpack back on, and I heard out there in the restroom, I heard a lady's voice. Now, it was a maintenance lady. I heard her little walkie-talkie go off, and it was like, come in, Sally. You know, like she had to come in and fix something in the guy's restroom. I thought at least they could have sent a guy in here. I don't understand why they sent a girl in here. They could have sent a guy in here to fix something. Honestly, here's what I did. In my spiritualness, that's an actual word, I'm sure. It's in the Hebrew. But in my spiritualness, I put on my backpack and I went. I was going to go storming out that door, honestly. And I was going to try to help her out and encourage her to stay out of the men's room. It's just inappropriate. It's improper. Now, this day and age is just fine. I guess you can do that all you want. I understand that. I get that. Thank you so much, Target. But what I'm saying is this is that in light of that, no, that's not the issue. So I walked out of that door, man. I walked up to her, and what I realized was this. I was in a room full of ladies. Yeah, I was in the ladies' restroom. You say, what'd you do, preacher? Here's what I did. I waved to a couple people, I said hello, and I walked out the door like I was supposed to be there. Now, I didn't see anything inappropriate. You say, what was your problem? Here was my problem, friends. I wasn't thinking right. Now, a lot of things were my problem. Once I walked out that door, my pastor was in stitches, man. He was like laying on the ground. I thought, you could have rescued me, man. You're talking about purity all the time. You could have sent somebody in to rescue me. My wife's laughing. She thinks it's a big joke. I'm like, thank you so much. I'm throwing that washer away. You know, you just get tired of it. So there it is. I had a couple chuckles about it. But my problem was this. I wasn't thinking correctly was my biggest issue. I walked in there so hastily, I just wasn't thinking. I've been there for years since I've been a young boy, but I just wasn't thinking right. When we come to the area of prayer, I'm telling you this, some of us aren't thinking right. We just don't think right. Some of us have ceased to pray because we said this, God don't answer. Now, you'd never say that in church. I understand that. But you tell me how much you prayed this past week. See, friends, all I'm saying is if we really believe that prayer worked, we'd do it. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's the tree of life. So what happens when promises are delayed? What happens when God holds back the promise? It doesn't come. You say, I don't believe in claiming promises. I believe name it and claim it if God said it. I sure do. Here's the promise that I hope everybody's claimed in this room is this. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise that you can claim. What matters is this, is many times, because you haven't come to the full fruition of what that promise is, because nobody in this room is glorified, because we're all still here stuck on earth. But I will tell you this, someday we're going to understand what that means to be saved. Someday we're really going to understand what it means to hold the hand of the Savior, to walk in the garden alone with Him. Sometime we're going to understand the embrace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get it someday, but now we don't see it. But we're trusting Him, we're hoping in Him that someday it's really going to happen. Friends, all I'm saying is this. This addresses promises that God has given to you. Many times when you look at the Proverbs, you will take one or two individual Proverbs or one individual Proverb. This goes all the way down to verse 19 in your personal study. We won't take time to look at it. It just qualifies verse 12 is all that it does. It qualifies that we can take God at His word, and when He promises something, it's good. It's not only good, but it's promised. It's going to come to fruition. Friends, you say, how do I get a promise? You go to God's Word and ask Him to give you a promise. God gives you a promise in particular areas. And many of you know what it's like. Many of you right now are clinging by faith. Sometimes you're just hanging on for dear life, but we're claiming it by faith. It was a wet and rainy Wednesday night. It was down in Carrollton, Illinois, the second time I ever did a public school war. And what I mean by that is we get into the public school and we invite them out at night for the gospel. And we had a great, great time there in the public school. But what happened was this, we were about 20 minutes away, and I was in a small church in Carrollton, Illinois, Pastor Jason Valentin, and I remember this, the church was probably about half this pew, about half that pew, and probably only far back to here and the man in the red sweater, about right there. It wasn't a large church at all. And I remember I got down on my knees and I said this. I said, God, you got to do something with this weather. It had been raining all week long to the point where it was canceling sporting events. It was canceling everything in town. And we knew that God seemed to be opening the door for people to come out. That's what we knew. God, you got to do something with the weather. God, direct me. Give me wisdom. And this is the promise that He gave me. It's not going to seem like a promise, but He gave me this. The clouds are the dust of my feet. You know what that means? God said, I'm in control of the weather. Now, we knew that many times people come out for some of the competitions we do, the big ball, some of the things we'll do, the 4-foot by 4-foot big ball, the spoke tackle, America's Roughest Race, where you can body check, takedown, headlock, clothesline, tackle, trip, push shove. You can slide tackle, fly tackle, arm drag, hip toss. You can do all those different things. But friends, I will tell you this. Don't worry, grandmas, moms, they really can't do it, but it sounds really good when it comes out of your mouth. So in light of that, I do need you to see this, is that we just needed the rain to stop for about an hour and a half on Thursday night. It was Wednesday morning, and God had clearly, or Wednesday afternoon into the night, and God had clearly brought me to a promise right there on that pew. I stood up, and I was on my way out, and this guy I met on the way out was one of my team captains. I used to take two or three different team college guys with me. I usually try not to take college girls and college guys together because it's a big drama headache the whole time, but I just like to keep the guys because they're pretty simple. They don't wash their clothes. That's about all you got to get them on for. Apart from that, it's pretty simple. And in light of that, I walked out and he said, God brought me to that same promise. Where two is agree is touching anything, you have what you asked for. Made it real simple for me. I walked out there and you're never going to believe. Thursday morning I woke up, you are never going to believe what was happening. This was amazing. You know what was happening, friends? Yeah, it was raining. I mean, it wasn't just raining straight down any longer. It was like sideways rain, like some of the rain we had today. I mean, that stuff was coming down, friends. There was about 6 inches of mud out there in the field, and I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. Mud wasn't a problem. The problem was the rain. The problem was the storms. It was about 6:20, and we were supposed to start at about 6:30. 6:30 to about 7:30 is what I needed, about an hour time for us to go outside, play some games, come back in. In pulls a neighboring church. It's a pastor that just wanted to check out the program. He wanted to see if it would be good enough for his church. I thought, oh man, now I got the pressure of this. So the guy pulls in and he runs with his youth group in. Now, I don't know if he didn't get the memo, preacher, but here's what happened. All these guys showed up dressed in ties. They showed up dressed in dress slacks and dress shoes. I'm thinking to myself, man, these guys missed it. We're going to have some frustrated parents, but amen, glory, glory. I'm not sending them home. It's not my problem. So that's just how I felt, okay? I really did. We gave the memo, and he brought them dressed wrong. Ladies are dressed in dresses coming out. I thought, this is not going to work. But I rolled with it all the same. It didn't matter. So I said this. I said, Lord, you've got to do something. They run inside. He leans over to me, pouring down rain, 6:20. He leans over and says this, son, you got a plan B? I'm thinking in my heart, I wonder if I do have a plan B. But I said this, you know what? I said, God's given me a promise. I said, no, sir, we don't have a plan B. I said, we're going outside at 6:30. We're going to be outside. Now, I wasn't trying to be cocky. I wasn't trying to be mean. And I wasn't trying to be ignorant. But God had given me a promise, so I was simply clinging to it. Friends, in light of that, what do you do? What do you do when God delays the promise? I'll get to that by the end, good Lord willing. But let me define a couple words when it comes to the Scripture. Hope deferred. Hope is the first word you're going to look at is hope. Hope is a confident expectation. If you have a Strong's Concordance and you look this up, it would just simply say expectation. The word confident would not be there in much of the study. The only reason we can put confident in it is because of what it says to qualify that word at the end of the verse. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire, pointing back to the hope, when the desire, the hope cometh, it's a tree of life. Which means this, it's coming from the hand of the Savior. It's coming from God's hand. It's not coming from the devil's hand, because not once in the Scriptures did the devil give you the tree of life, apart from, I understand, the tree, the fruit of the good and evil. I get that, but that was not the tree of life, friends. And in light of that, you see that anything comes from the hand of God is a tree of life. That's what I'm trying to qualify it as, a confident expectation. It's like this, to define it even further. It's like the story of the boy that was going to go fishing with his daddy the next morning. He comes in and he tucks him in, and he tucks him in real tight. And the boy jumps up out of the covers, throws his arms open, wraps his arms around his daddy's neck and says this, thank you for the fishing trip tomorrow. What was he doing? He was hoping. He was hoping that his father was going to come through on the promise in which he made. He had a confident expectation. Let's look at it this way. Hope is the span of time. from when God gives you a promise until it answers. It's that time in between. It's hoping. Now, many of us are in that hoping span of time right now. Now, I want you to realize something. God inhabits eternity. He is above everything. He doesn't stay in the frame of time. As a matter of fact, He is at your birth as much as He's at your death all at the same time. And the other 6 billion, 7 billion plus people across this world right now at this time, He's at their birth and their death all at the same time as well. Not only is He at their birth and their death, but all the 6 billion people plus that came before you, and if God tarries, the 6 billion plus people that will come after you, He's at their birth and their death all at the same time as well. All I need you to see is this, is God does come and get into our time frame, but God is not bound by our time frame. He never has been. As a matter of fact, He's worked in hearts long before we've ever had breath in our lungs. So in light of that, He's had this night planned for the past 2,000 plus years or 8,000 plus years based upon the size of the earth, or 10,000 depending upon what size you believe this is. So in light of that, for what it's worth, we need to see that there's a confident expectation. That's what God brings you to. Let me qualify it with another scripture. Remember Elijah? Elijah prayed that it might not rain. Remember that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Elijah prayed that it might not rain. You say, how in the world and where did he get that it might not rain? Obviously, an angel from heaven came down and hovered over Elijah and said, Elijah, tell everybody that it won't rain. No, that's not what it was. No, Elijah was involved in the school of prophets. Do you think that they studied the Old Testament, the Torah? Do you think they studied that in the school of prophets? I mean, do you think they really studied God's Word? Obviously, they did. Obviously, in the school of prophets, they studied God's Word. Do you think they would have ever came across the promise in Deuteronomy where it says this? It says that if my people turn away from me, I will send pestilence, I will send famine, and I will send drought. Do you ever think they ever came across that? Of course they did. Do you think that Elijah understood that? I think he did. So here's what happened. He walks out his door that day. He looks out into a society that is flourishing, a society that is not starving, a rain that is falling from heaven, and he sees that God has not fulfilled His promise in which He has already made to His people. And you say, what was the difference? The difference was the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availed much. He got on his knees and he prayed that it might not rain. He stood up, he based it on a promise, and he walked into the most powerful man's office at that time, and he stood before him and he said this, Ahab, it ain't going to rain. And he left with confidence. That's exactly what happened, isn't it? There he is by the brook Kidron, and we see that later on. It's down the road after now. We fast forward. God had already promised it's not going to rain. It doesn't rain for 3.5 years. And then the great tournament. Remember this? He caused all the prophets of Baal up. He says, come on up. He says, we're going to have a sacrifice. They have the sacrifice. And we know the story. Some of us maybe not. Here's how it took place, is that they had all the prophets of Baal. All they had to do was pray to their God, and fire would fall from heaven to consume the sacrifice in which they made. The prophets of Baal prayed for hours they prayed, and fire didn't fall. And then Elijah gets down on his knees. He prays for it seemingly as moments, just two passages or two scripture verses there in the scriptures. He just prays for two verses, and fire falls from heaven. And then what happens? God's people turn and they say, your God, we're going to serve your God. And then they take the prophets of Baal and they take them by the brook Kidron and they slay them all. Do you remember that? What did they do? They turned back to God. So what did Elijah do right after that? He went up to the side of the mount. Now's where our hoping comes in. He goes up to the side of the mount. He puts his head between his knees and he begins to pray. What's he praying for? Well, it is qualified in the whole story. It really is. It's in the context. What he does is he sends that servant boy up 7 times. And each time he comes back with a report that Elijah doesn't really see. It's not the report he's looking for. So he sends him up the 7th time. He comes back and he says this. What did you see? He says, I see a cloud off in the distance the size of a man's hand. Elijah said it's going to rain. What was he praying for with his head between his knees? He was praying for rain. Based upon what? Based upon a promise. Why? Because God's people turned back to him. So he could take God at his promise. Friends, in light of that, we see this, that he was hoping. That's all. He was hoping. He had a confident expectation that God was going to fulfill his promise. Hope is the result of taking God at his promise. It's a confident expectation. Secondly, we got hope. It's being deferred or it's being delayed. It's being prolonged. You can't touch it. Listen, some of us are praying for family members, and let's face it, they're not sitting beside you. I'm not trying to scratch an old wound. I'm telling you, the family member isn't sitting beside you, but you're praying for them. Where are they, God? Some of us are praying for the gospel to work in some family members' lives, and we're saying something like this: I gave them the gospel, Lord, and you said it would work, but it's not working, Lord. Where are you at? And you go to family reunion after family reunion. You said, God, your word's supposed to not come back void. But there he is. He has another beer in his hand. And there he is saying another cuss word. Lord, where in the world are you now? You ever been there? Friends, maybe I'm the only unspiritual one in here. Maybe the only one who'll be honest. But I'm going to tell you what, friends. I've been there more than I'd like to admit. And friends, what it comes down to is this. The reality is, when God doesn't answer, so many times we get frustrated. Well, there's various reasons why God doesn't answer. There really is. There's three that I find, and there's more that you could come to in your own study. Why it's being delayed? Why is being delayed? Why does God hold back? Why does He say not right now? Why does He do that? Because sometimes it happens, doesn't it? Never get in financial trouble. Not hear anybody in this church. God forbid you'd ever be in financial trouble. Nobody's ever ran up credit card debt, I'm sure, in this church. But I'm talking about those other churches out there, those ungodly ones. Let's talk about them for a second. Did you ever run it up the first time and God delivers you? Oh, man, He just flat out delivered you. You're like, $4,000, where in the world did that come from? Did you ever do it a second time and He didn't deliver you? Yeah, been there. But you prayed for it, just like last time. But God said, you know what, I think I'm going to have you learn something on this one so you don't do it again. Now, friends, all I'm telling you is it's not because God hates us. I'm just telling you the reality of it. That's a practical illustration of what God does when He holds back a promise. In light of that, watch this. Maybe this. First of all, maybe the timing's not right. That's why He's delaying. That's why He's deferring. Maybe the timing isn't right. What if? How many single young ladies? Raise your hand. Teenagers and everybody. I hate to embarrass you. I really do, but I'm going to do it anyway. But amen. Good job, ladies. Awesome. Hey, Val, you better raise your hand. I saw that. Let's say this. Let's say tonight. Oh, this almost makes me melt. Just kidding. Let's say that Prince Charming walks in the door. Ooh, amen. That's right, son. Every other male in the room said, what? I'm Prince Charming. Let's say Prince Charming walks in the door and he kneels before you. This is an amazing thing. Val, listen now. Ears open. Here it is. He kneels before you and he says this, I love you. Thank you, Jeanette Oak. Love comes softly, doesn't it? He kneels before you and says, I love you. Now, I know how to say I love you because I've told Sally, I've told Susie, I've told Margaret, and I've told Brenda. But you, I mean it. And I'm going to take you tonight, he says, to the nicest restaurant in all the land here tonight. He says, I'm going to take you to the place with the gold out front, the golden arches. Now he's going to take you to a nice restaurant. He says, I know it's a nice restaurant because I've taken Sally, I've taken Susie, I've taken Margaret, and I've taken Brenda. But you, I mean it with. Could you see it now? And this will never happen in my house. This guy would be dead by now. But let's just say for the sake of it, we don't believe this way, but I understand. For the sake of illustration, he says this. At the end of the night, I'd like to give you a kiss. Obviously, that's not going to be with Dad's permission, right, Mother Mike? That ain't going to happen that way. Secretly, he's going to sneak a kiss. And he says, I know for the kiss. Because I've kissed Sally, I've kissed Susie, I've kissed Margaret, and I've kissed Brenda. Now, ladies, isn't that the type of guy that you want to take home to Mom and Dad? I mean, isn't that the type of guy that you say, man, this guy is a winner, preacher? No, why? But he's a loser. But you know how many ladies I have seen and young men that have got enamored with somebody and fell for those stupid words, I love you? They're not stupid when it's in the right context, friend. But I will tell you this, many of people have given their heart away and the timing isn't right. Ladies, I promise you, you're not going to die an old maid. I promise you that. My wife got married to me at 27 years old and she's still 27 10 years later, amen. It's a glorious thing. She didn't even start aging. All I'm saying is this. Maybe the timing's not right. Maybe secondly is this. Maybe God wants to perfect your dependence upon Him. That's probably it. I was talking to a preacher one time, and there he saw it. Did you know that God's ways are not our ways, saith the Lord? Brother Jemanski, write that down, because I think I'm going to put that in Holy Writ. I think I should put that in there. It's in there, friends. God's ways are not our ways. I was talking to a preacher one time in East Moline, and there he said that his father was passing away. And again, I don't want to scratch an old wound. I'm telling you, he was on oxygen. And he was moments, they say months away from passing away, and they got the verdict in. We've all been there. We've all seen the scene. We know the scenario. There it was. He'd walk in, and his father couldn't talk. He just wore that oxygen mask so he could breathe, and he would go, 2, 3. 2, 3. That means this. Read Psalm 23. Lo, as I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It is a comforting, comforting song. But this preacher, man, I'm going to tell you, he said, I got to get some promises. So he went, and I don't know what he did. He manipulated the scriptures, man. And he's just sitting there looking for something that would work for him. And he found some things. He really did. He found two verses that were very similar. And he went and he said, God, thank you for healing daddy. I'm out of here. He walked into that hospital room, and there it was. His mama was crying in the corner. Mom, don't cry. Don't cry, Mom. Dad's going to be healed. His daddy's over there going, 2, 3, 2, 3. Read Psalm 23. He says, I will not. He said, let's read something with life in it. He said, Daddy, you're going to be healed. 2 weeks later, we know what happened, don't we? They had passed out into eternity. Friends, you tell me, was he healed? It's all perspective, isn't it? What if he would have survived? He would have survived all the chemo stuff. And there he would have been here on earth. He would have had a lot of complications with his life, but he would have survived. Or he would have went to heaven to be free from all pain. You tell me who gets healed. Friends, it's all perspective, isn't it? It's all emotional, I understand, but it's all perspective. He said this. He said, for 6 weeks, he says, there I sat on that front pew almost, on the second pew, and he says, there I sat. He says, every time that preacher would preach, man, I'd stand up, I'd grip that pew. He says, I had no time for God. He says, I hated God. I wouldn't open my Bible. He says, I wouldn't sing a song. He says, I had no time for God. Then he said this. He says, I don't know what the message was. This is usually how it plays out. He says, but God was speaking to me, and he says, I went forward, and he says, I broke. He says, I cried like a baby up front. And he says, and I realized this. God almost audibly, he said to me this, I just want to perfect your dependence upon me. You know, all God wants you to do is, you may need to get a second job, don't get me wrong, but God wants you to run to him first is what he wants. And he may be holding something back from you financially. By the way, he does own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He really does. And he owns the hills as well. And when he said he'll supply every need, it means he'll supply every need. Friends, all I'm telling you is this. We need to get into the perspective that God's not lying to us. Maybe this, the timing's not right. Maybe he wants to perfect your dependence upon him. But maybe we're not ready for the answer. That could be the case. What if? This is an amazing thing, preacher. What if? Before we get into a shouting fit, what if all the way from the Germanski tribe, what if revival just started spreading? I'm talking people started getting obedient to Christ. That's all really revival is obedience to Christ. Step-by-step obedience. And I'm talking about people started getting right with God. It's an amazing thing. And it started spreading like a corporate revival. Everybody here is walking with Jesus. It's amazing. And when you walk in, it's permeated with the presence of Christ. What if? What if it burst out those doors, it made it all the way to the coast, and people started putting clothes on at the beach? What in the world would we do? Friends, that's not the question. What would we do? The question is really this. Are you prepared, if God did a great move in this church, are you prepared to teach a Sunday school class? Have you ever, in all of your Christianity, ever led somebody to Jesus Christ? My son was 5 years old when he started out there winning souls. You say, that's because you're a preacher. It gave him a venue. It sure did. Sure did. But I'll tell you this. I don't twist my son's arm to do nothing but clean up after himself. Friends, what would we do is not the question. It's what are you doing now? Have you even prayed for your missionaries at all? This week? This month? This year? And we're the ones that cry out for revival. Do you see our plight? Do you see our need? Friends, I'm not trying to get us guilty, because we could preach on soul winning and prayer and we could fill aisles all day long. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. There is a time during revival where people are passed by. Remember the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior? Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, Lord, do not pass me by. It was the Welsh revival of the 1900s, early 1900s, late 1800s. My wife's grandfather, great-grandfather, was saved in the Welsh revival over in Wales. She's 100% Welsh. There it was. He was saved at that time. An amazing thing where 20 1,000 people were added to the church just in a short span of time. That's unbelievable. There it was. Her great-grandfather moved to America. He moved to Pennsylvania. And now, yes, he was a Yankee, amen, but he was a Welsh Yankee, so I guess he wasn't really full-blown Yankee. He was Welsh Yankee. And he moved there to America. He moved there, and revival spread into another awakening here on our soil. You know, he had two kids, which was my wife's uncle, or great-uncle, and it was her grandfather. Do you know that her great-uncle went into gospel crusades, still spread on the wings of that revival? It was amazing. He went into a gospel quartet and was used across this country in a mighty way. You know, her grandfather rejected Jesus Christ. Do you know that if you seek Him, you'll find Him if you search for Him with all your heart? You know the counter to that is, if you don't, you won't. The question is not, what would I do? The question is, what am I doing right now? Friends, I'm telling you, surrender's easy. It's really easy. It's just saying yes to Jesus Christ and no to ourselves. You say, if God could just get my emotions straight and I could believe in it and feel it, friends, and it wouldn't be surrender any longer. Surrender is surrendering to yourself more than surrendering to God many times. In light of that, maybe we're just not ready for the answer. The point is this. Some people in here have a confident expectation and you've been praying for something. Something very clear. But the problem is, the verse gives another promise. It says, hope deferred or delayed makes the heart sick. That's a promise. You know what sick is? It has the idea of being grieved or afflicted. If you've prayed for any amount of time in here as a parent even with a child away from the Lord, or as a parent that just has small children in their homes, or as somebody else in here that prays for something specifically, a job, anything along those lines, a life mate, vocation, here's what happens in your life. It's a promise. If you're praying for something and the answer doesn't immediately come, it's a promise that your heart's going to get sick. That's a promise. The problem is this, is that when the heart gets sick, what happens in our life is the prayers dry up. See, God didn't answer, so we got sick about it, and the prayers dry up. Friends, that's a promise. All I'm saying is this, is God never leaves His promise. You know where God is? God's standing at the point of departure. See, you left. You're gone at the point of departure. You're gone. You said, God, you're not going to do it. Obviously, you didn't answer immediately, so God, you're not going to do it. I'm out of here. I'm telling you, there's people in here that are praying for friends. Something very basic. They're praying for friends. They're praying for boldness. They're just praying for people to like them. And here's what they've done. They've said, God, you know what? I'm done. I'm gone. Yeah, we're sitting in the pew, but we're gone. God didn't answer when He was supposed to answer. And all God's doing is here. Hey, listen, I'm going to be right here. Whenever you want to come back, listen, I'm right here. Why? Because He's a good God. And God's been there at point of departure with His arms wide open saying this, anytime you're ready, you come back. You say the promise is no longer valid. God's promises are always valid. If He makes a promise, He's going to come through on it, friends. All I'm saying is in our sickness, we turn and run the other direction. Something that we've explained, something that we can't understand completely, but I'm telling you, we know what it's like. C.H. Spurgeon said this, our Father has reasons peculiar to Himself for thus keeping us waiting. Thy prayers are all filed in heaven, and if not immediately answered, they are certainly not forgotten. But in a little while, they shall be fulfilled to Thy delight and satisfaction. Friends, it was about 20 after 6, and there it was. That preacher pulled into town. Got a plan B, son? No, sir. We're going outside. Here's what I did. I walked in the back and I paced back and forth and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world am I going to do? All these people out there, now this new youth group comes in, they're all depending upon that prayer. What are we going to do? I'm pacing back and forth. I wish I would have understood this verse. I didn't. I was crying out saying, God, you got to do something. God, you got to do something. I called my boss up at the time. I traveled for Minutemen for years. I traveled as an evangelist for Dr. Jim Van Gelder. I called him up on the phone and I said this. I said, Dr. Jim, I got a question for you. I said, do we got a plan B? He said, no, we don't have a plan B. I said, well, listen, I need about an hour window, same amount that you need when you go outside for the competitions. I said, is there anything coming my way? See, he's a weather nerd. I'm a weather nerd now, too, and I get on and I get excited when I see a storm. You know, I've been through 3 tornadoes this year. I'm tired of being a weather nerd, okay? A trailer doesn't hold up in a tornado. But I remember I said, hey, is there something going on? You see anything on the computer? And he said this. He says, that's funny that you asked. He says, yeah, we got a window coming your way. I said, how big is it? He says, I don't know, about an hour, hour, 20 minutes, something like that. I said, when's it coming? He said, should be right on you. I said, isn't that something? I went out and I said, thanks, Dr. Jim. I went walking out. I put my coat on. I put my megaphone around my shoulder like we use outside for competition. I walked out that door. This is no kidding. At 6:27, I walked out that door and the rain had stopped. Kids come pouring in, man. They're coming from 20 miles away. They're come pouring in. Man, we had a glorious time. We got in that mud. Preacher, I'll never do this again, though. I will tell you that. I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, we ought to lay down some tarps or something on this carpet. I mean, we really ought to do that. He goes, praise the Lord. He said, every soul is worth a mud spot. I wish they would have believed that 2 weeks later, amen. I've never been back to that church again, but I will tell you this. Everybody got upset with the preacher after I left, I can tell you. But I will say this, is that... By the end of that week, we had 14 souls saved. You say, what was that? It's in the verse, isn't it? The tree of life. It really was. When I went to Ambassador Baptist College for a few years, I finished my schooling up at another location, but while I was there, I got burdened for souls. I really did. I got burdened at my hometown in Charleston, South Carolina, where I had moved for a few years underneath Dennis Clemens. That's when he got me burdened for souls through a Netcaster program that we had done together. And we weren't really faithful. We just like to tell people about Jesus, so we just did the best we could. And we just didn't take the time like we always did. He did, I didn't. But I just wanted to tell people about Christ. I remember I got burdened for my mama and my daddy. My mom and daddy have been split up for a long time. If you come during the week, you'll hear a little bit about my testimony. I didn't get saved till I was 21. But he walked out, he'd maybe talk to my mama maybe 5, maybe 10 times. Really, hardly at all he's talked to my mother, even since it's been 20-plus years now. I remember that I said, I called my mom up on the phone and I got burdened. I got concerned about whether she was going to heaven or not. And I said, Mama, I said, can I ask you a question, Mama? I said, are you going to heaven when you die? Oh, she said, Mikey, everybody calls me Mikey. You're welcome to do that. Mikey, I am. And she had a clear salvation testimony and she gave it to me. I said, amen, Mama. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what about Dad? I don't know about your father. You call your father. That's kind of what I expected. I mean, spirituality just went out the window there. But amen. I called my daddy on the phone. I said, hey, Daddy. I said, you know I love you. He says, I know that, Mikey. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you were to die right now, you know you'd go to heaven. And he said this, not the way your mama knows. Nope. I appreciate him saying that. I said, Daddy, do you mind if I pray for you? He said, you sure can. I'm going to tell you, I had a lot of nights in tears saying, oh, God, save my daddy. Oh, God, work in my daddy's life. I would have done anything to see my father saved, anything to see my daddy saved. I love my father. I respect him. He taught me how to work. He didn't teach me how to be a Christian, friends. He didn't teach me how to be perfect, okay, friends? But he did teach me how to work, and I thank him for that. But here it was. I remember I got the call from him. It was a few years later, and I was traveling on a team, and I was in Fredericksburg, Maryland, just south of my hometown, about 2 hours south. He called me on the phone, and he said this. He said, Mikey, he said, Susie's not doing too well. Now, you don't know Susie, but I know Susie. Susie was my stepmom. He said, she's not doing too well. She had lupus. She went to the hospital, and her health was deteriorating. But he says, Mike, you know what? It's probably no big deal. But if something happens, will you come back? I said, yeah, Dad, I'm only 2.5 hours away. Yeah, I'll come back. I didn't think anything of it until 2 days later he called me and he said this, Mike, you're never going to believe this. He said, Susie passed away. I said, I'm so sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry. I got in the car and I drove 2.5 hours. I appealed to my boss and said, boss, I need to go. I said, I need to go to my father-in-law. I need to go see my dad. I said, I need to see my stepmom. I'm going to go speak at her funeral. So I just went back. I drove 2.5 hours. Man, I wept the whole time. It's amazing what death, how it shocks you, isn't it? I'm driving back and I walk into the funeral home and there's my father. He is caressing, standing by the casket. And I took a mental picture of this. It's a mental video that I have stuck in my mind. He's caressing the dead hand of my stepmother. And he says this as I come up next to him. He's standing there. I come up next to him. And I said, hi, Dad. I said, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a little while. It's your son, Mikey. I love you. He says, Mikey, what's the Bible have to say about this? Didn't even look at me. Just keeps caressing. Oh, I said, Daddy, that's simple. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. I said, Daddy, see, 3 months ago when you guys were in a gospel meeting that we were holding, I said, remember Susie walked back and she asked Jesus Christ to save her? I said, right now, Susie's in heaven, Daddy. I said, she may be walking the street of gold or streets of gold. You can call it what you want. There's probably more than one street. Amen. And there, she's probably rounding Glory Street right about now. And she's about to get at the feet of Jesus. And she has no more pain Daddy, I said, I think Susie's just fine. And then I said this, there's never a good time to ask this question. What about you, Daddy? He looked at me and he said this, and I'll be done in a few short moments. I promise you, I know that I went over, but he said this. He said, Mikey, he says, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I said, I appreciate your honesty. He went back to caressing her hand. It was later on that night that I got him aside and I said, Daddy, I'd like to talk to you if I could. I took the bridge track. I like the bridge track because it illustrates things in it. I really do. Shows you pictures. I like pictures. I'm a picture person. I'm a reader, but a picture person. And I began to flip through that. I showed him that he was a sinner and I showed him he deserved hell because of his sin. I showed him that Jesus Christ died on the cross and if he would just but depend upon Jesus Christ, he could go to heaven someday. And Daddy, if you just pray that prayer in the back and ask Jesus Christ to save you and believe it in your heart, Dad, you can be saved. And he looked at me and he says, not right now, Mike. Not right now, Mikey. Thank you so much. I said, Daddy, I love you. I gave him a big hug, and I said, I got to go back to work. I went back to work. I went back down with these teenagers, and all chaos had broken loose while I was gone, man. People broke their nose. A kid broke his thumb. I mean, it was crazy. I wish that I was there, but I was happy I got to talk to my daddy. I remember there it was. I got a phone call that following Saturday. God had come down. Some teenagers were getting right. What I mean by getting right is they were just saying, man, I'm going to surrender to you, God. I'm going to get rid of all this stuff in my life and I'm going to surrender to you. Whatever it was that was holding them back. I was driving in the van behind my boss and there was a Mack truck. And no, it wasn't a Peterbilt. I know what a Mack is. Okay, it had the Bulldog on the front. It was a Mack truck that was coming up on my right-hand side. My daddy called me on the phone. He said this, hey, Mikey. I said, hey, Daddy, how you doing? He said, I'm doing real good. I said, how you feeling? He says, I'm feeling all right. I said, let me ask you a question, Dad. I said, why'd you call? I said, I can't come home. I'm on my way back down south again. He says, no, listen. He says, I wanted to tell you, that piece of paper you gave me, he says, I prayed that prayer in the back of that piece of paper. Was that all right? I said, yeah, Daddy, but sometimes parents tell their kids what they want to hear. Don't do that. Be truthful. I said, Daddy, let me ask you a couple questions. If you died right now, where would you go? He says, I'd go to heaven, Mikey. I said, wait a sec. I said, what about before you prayed that prayer? Where would you have went? He says, I would have went to hell, Mikey. I said, how many sins did Jesus wash away on the cross? He said, all of them. I said, now how many are left that you need to pay? He says, I don't have to pay for one of them. Jesus paid them all. I said, Daddy, you're telling me the best way you know how? You asked Jesus Christ to save you. You saw you were a sinner. You saw it as if hell and Jesus Christ saved you. He says, I did. Tears come streaming down my face. I said, Daddy, I said, right now, you are my brother, not just my father, but you're my brother in Jesus Christ. He says, that's great to hear. I said, Daddy, I need to let you go. Just about the time I heard that, I almost smacked into that flat, matte black truck that was coming up beside me, that Mack. I almost smacked right into that baby. It was very real. My boss almost did, but he just was a bad driver. He didn't get that news. All I'm saying is this. You say, what was it at that moment? You want to know what it was, friend? The tree of life. That's what it was. The tree of life. Some of your friends will miss your tree of life if you don't come back to the point of departure. If you don't come back to the prayer and say, God, you're right. I'm telling you, there's people here that have been running away from the Lord for a long time. Maybe you've stayed in the pew, and maybe you haven't been in the pew in a long time. But I'm going to tell you this. It's time to come back. It's time to come back to the promise that God really is God and that God really wants to work in your life. It's time to obtain, or dare I say this, come back and get the tree of life. And it's time to come back to the promise that God's given you a long, long time ago. Simple? No. No, Christianity's hard, friends. It's work. It's tough. But it's dependent saying no to us and yes to Him. Every single time. I'd ask every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. We'll take a few short moments. I promise you, if you say, you know what, I'm late for something, preacher, I won't hold it against you. You say, I got something scheduled. Preacher doesn't usually go that long. Then, friends, I'm not holding you back. If you need to go, you got to go. I won't hold you back. How many say this, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I am past the point of departure right now. I've left the point of departure, and I know what God wants me to do. God wants me to come back to that promise He gave me. He wants me to come back to it, and He wants me to stand on the promise again, like we sung at the beginning. Is that anybody here tonight with raised hand would say this, preacher, just pray for me. I'm not taking pictures, and I'm not chalking this up in some newspaper somewhere. This is primarily between you and God. You say, preacher, I'll be humble. I'll be honest with you. I'm off that promise. I haven't prayed for it because I'm discouraged. I'm defeated in that, and my heart is sick and it's grieved. I'm not praying for it any longer, but preacher, I need to get back to it. Anybody here tonight would raise their hand and say, pray for me. I see those hands. I see those hands. I sure do. I see those hands. You don't have to keep them up. You can put them back down. Is that anybody else? Say, you know what? I'm there. I'm right there, preacher. I know exactly what you're talking about. I see that. I appreciate your honesty. You know what you'd do if you could look into hearts tonight? You'd see the same thing God would say. All the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We've all had times like this. We all need God to intervene. We sure do. I'm going to pray, then the piano will play. And after that, friends, I want to invite you, before the hustle and bustle of life, I'm going to invite you to come to kneel at the altar. I'm going to invite you to kneel where you're at. I'm going to invite you to run out and go to a classroom and kneel there. I'm going to invite you to go out to the car and pray to God. Friends, I'm going to tell you, God's going to meet you where you're at. But God does want to meet you. That's you. Could you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed? I'll pray, then the piano will play. Father, we love you. People raise their hand tonight. God, I raised my hand numerous times throughout the week in my own heart. And tonight, there's promises that I'm clinging to. And God, I need you to work. Father, I'm standing on them, regardless if my feelings are standing on them. I'm standing on them because you said. Father, I'm not drop-kicking my feelings. I love them. I really do. I enjoy my feelings. Father, I'm not letting them control this time now. Father, we're asking you to work. I'm asking you to work in the hands that have been raised. I'm asking that they have the boldness to come. If they need to be saved, Lord, I'm asking that they claim that promise to come, talk to somebody about knowing for sure they're on their way to heaven. As the piano plays, we love you, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need to come, you come, friends. Don't let it hold you back. We are not going to stop the service. If you need to skip out, you skip out, friends. We got a business meeting with God. You need to come, you come.